I know the plans I have for you. I want to prosper you and make you some kind of somebody. He did just what he said. How many of you know that he did just what he said?
Yes.
Aren't you glad about that? Come on, you don't sound like you're glad about it. Aren't you glad that God did what he said? He'd heal you. He said he'd restore you. He would come and see about you. He'd be your shield and your buckler. He'd be your bridge over your troubled waters. Aren't you glad that he did what he said? You ought to tell him thank you. You ought to tell him thank you. Thank you. And then they capped it off by saying, and that's when you bless me. How many of you know you've been blessed? Somebody, neighbor, they don't know it. Look at your name and tell them, you've been blessed. Come on, let him have his way. Let him have his way. He'll bless you. He'll bless you real good. From the rising of the sun to the going down, he'll bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And just to break the stubborn spirit, everybody ought to just yell out, have your way.
Have your way, Lord.
Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you'd be so kind, to grab your Bibles. Amen. This is week 5 of the prayer series. Amen. 5 is a grace number. We've been working on it and working on it, and just pray that you are benefiting from preaching on prayer. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 5. Amen. Revelation chapter 5. It again is my privilege and my honor to bring the word of God to you. And I pray you'll receive it in the spirit of which we give it to you, that it'll help your life. Sometimes we take preaching the wrong way personal, and we consider it assault and insult and indictment, but that's not what preaching is. Preaching is really to help your life.
Yes, sir.
And even in the hard lessons, it helps our life. Amen. And I thank God that my life did not mature off of just ice cream and cake, but off hard lessons. And so we thank God that you're here today, and pray that you will receive the word of God as it is intended to be given, and that is that it would help you. Anybody need help? That's 12. Thank you. Amen. Revelation 5, just going to read a few verses, and it's just so much in the text to preach, but we want to read a few verses, beginning at verse 6, Revelation 5, beginning at verse 6, it says, I looked and I saw a lamb that had been killed, but was now standing between the throne and the four living beings, and among the 24 elders. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God that are sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And as he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, the prayers of God's people. God bless you. You may be seated in the awesome presence of God. Do me a little favor. It's right at noon, and I don't want to keep you too long on a rainy day. Do me a favor and smile, if you will, at somebody near to you, or you might even have to move if you're not in good company, but that's not my fault. You sat there, not me. But smile and look at somebody and say, neighbor, pastor is going to inform us of what happens to our prayers when we pray. Amen. What happens to our prayers when we pray? God, we are so thankful that you've given us this day. And God, we pray that you would again open our eyes and our ears and let these words come alive in us. Search us, Father, and remove from us the thing that is not like you. Adjust our attitudes and our spirits. God, we pray that you would move on us, stir us, shake us, lift us if we're too low, and bring us down a little if we're too high. God, put us in the right position that our receptors would come alive and that we would hear what you are saying to the church. And God, in order to do that, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins. If you would have mercy on us yet again. Paul reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Lord, we need a closer walk with you. And if you'll draw us in, Lord, we'll stay there forever. God, we pray that you would make listening easy. And God, we pray that when we have heard what you are saying, we'll do what you said. And God, I ask that you bless me afresh, that Lord, the time that we have spent together would be valuable enough to get us through the moment, that the church would be lifted higher. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What happens to our prayers when we pray? Are you interested in that?
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't you really like to know what happens to your prayers when you pray? When I was a little bit younger, Dr. Corbett, there was a old deacon in the church. Nice fellow, I suppose, but somewhat brutally honest at times. He would sit during the prayer meetings, and he sat there as though he had pencil and paper and a grading scale. And as many would pray, he would sit there, and I don't know if he had Tourette syndrome or some other issue where he could not control his emotions. But if he wasn't liking your prayer, you could tell by his responses. When someone was praying, you'd hear stuff like, well now, well ain't that something. During the prayer, he was judging prayer. And he would say things like, that ain't gonna make it past the ceiling. And so we would, young people at least, we would rather enjoy this dialogue. But haven't you heard that before when people say things like, our prayers do not rise above even the ceiling. We all want to believe that when we pray to God, that we're getting through. I don't know about you, but as an illustration that I believe all of us can relate to, I have a problem when I call my house and get the busy signal. Or I call my house and they let me go to voicemail. I believe when I call my house, I ought to get through. Y'all didn't see it. I have a problem when I call my house and can't get through. And I know I got call ID, so even when you on the phone makes that little noise, which means it's ringing, and you ought to look at it and go, oops, that's dad. I got to go. But I have a problem when I call my house and I can't get through. Can you see it yet? So when I call my father's house, and I've been told that the lines are many, I just believe I ought to get through. And so when I pray to God, I think I know what happens to my prayers when I pray. I don't intend to trouble you too long. I made up my mind after last Sunday that taking all your time don't make a whole lot of sense. Either you is or you ain't. Either you will or you won't. I pray that you do. The text says that John is in the midst of this tremendous revelation. And that he has been ushered into the grand room, the big room. You know, some of us have never been in the big room. And, you ought to want to go there. There's a commercial, Brother Anderson, that's running on ESPN where you see this basketball player from the Clippers, DeAndre something, his last name, I can't remember it presently, but he's standing there with a little velvet rope, you know, and the usher's standing at the door, and he looks on the list, and he lets him go in the room, and when he goes in the room, there are other personalities that have done something marvelous in sports, and the remark is, not everybody can come in the room. And there's a little kid there that's much shorter than he is, and he looks at him, and the little kid knows that he's looking at him as if to say, how'd you get in here? And he said, I shot a half-court three-pointer, game winner. And he goes, oh, yeah. And that's how it seems for some of us, that we never get in the room. But John is in the room. And the Bible says that things are happening rather unusual. John said, I stood there and I watched. And as things were happening, I was taking notice of the activities and those who participated in the room. If you go over in the fourth chapter of the Bible, of Revelation, it says something rather interesting. And I want to make sure he said, I looked and I saw. Can I help somebody long through here? If you ever want to be impressed with God, it's not in the miracles. It's not in the water and the wine. It's just in looking and seeing. In other words, nudge your neighbor, tell you ought to pay attention. Yeah. But John said, I looked and I saw and he starts trying to detail what's happening in the room. Any of y'all ever been in a situation where things are happening and you try to put your best words on it? You try to give it your best description and you realize that you are inadequate for the task. John said stuff was happening and I tried to comprehend. He said, I was there and he said, and a voice said, come on up. I want to show you something.
John is ushered even further into the room, and the text says that while he was looking, while he was seeing, he was listening. He said, I heard someone crying, and I inquired in my spirit as to the nature of the cry, and the cry was revealed to be because there was no one worthy to open up the scroll. John said, now interestingly, if you pay attention to the utterances, you can see that John is taking in far more than even he realizes, because John says that the scroll was sealed, but yet John also says that there was writing on the inside and the outside. How can you know there's writing on the inside and outside if the scroll yet remains sealed? Nudge your neighbor and tell me, if you want to see it, God will show it to you. Yeah, John said it's got seven seals and it has not yet been opened, but yet he is knowledgeable enough to know in the spirit that there's writing on the inside and the outside. I like it. In fact, I will tell you as I hurry along that the more I try to finish this sermon, the more I got stuck. Because every time I read the text, it just kept taking me to places. I was awestricken. I mean, come on, you can't read this kind of text and not be awestricken. I have characters in the Bible, Melvin, that I like, but I decided that John's going to be my choice now. Because John got to see stuff. I don't know about you, but I want to see stuff. Not just stuff, Melvin, but the stuff of God. Oh, I wish I had some witnesses here who want to see the stuff of God. I mean, John said, listen, I was in the spirit. That's a good thing. I'm standing in a place that I know I'm not worthy to stand. I'm hearing things that no man has ever heard. I am perceiving by the instruction and divine intervention of God that which men cannot understand. I am glad to be John. And here it is, because you must understand, John has been exiled. Living in a place called Patmos, and nobody wants to be exiled. Nobody wants to be living on Patmos. You would ask your travel agent. No travel agent tried to book passage to Patmos. There were no brochures. There were no come sail away, come sail away. There were no advertisements that were trying to entice folk. Patmos was a dark and dreary and desolate place. But isn't God so wonderful that even in dark, dreary, and desolate places, God will show you some of that God stuff?
Yes, he will.
I was awestricken, and the more I tried to finish, the further I went, the more I tried to write, the more I found myself worshiping. Because I kept reading this God stuff. John is there. He stands there. And the Bible says that in the process of this prophetic predicament, stuff starts revealing stuff. Mm-hmm. Y'all missed it. Because the Bible says that while John is there, each one had a harp. And they held these gold bowls. Yes. Filled with incense. And then notice how John, not being able to see that which is in the bowl, is revealed to him what's in the bowl. He said that those gold bowls filled with incense represent the prayers of God's people.
Yes.
You wondered what happened to your prayers. They were filling those bowls. Each bowl, there are 24 elders, there are four beings, all of them have prayers. Notice what they present to God. They present your prayers. Y'all missed the shout yet? They didn't bring to him gold. They didn't bring silk. Listen, they didn't bring to him the finest of the finest, and the finest of the finest is there. But what they bring to God on this occasion are the prayers of God's people.
You talk about getting one through.
You talking about catching the ear of God.
All the things the elders could have brought, they brought your praise.
Bible said they were there, and they moved into the presence of God. I kept reading it, and I kept backing up and reading it, and I kept reading it, and I kept backing up. And I would suggest to you, as I move along here, if there's anything I can give you on this Sunday, I'll give you the opportunity to go home and read it over and over and over, because the more I read it, the closer I got to God. The more I read it, the more encouraged I was by God. The more I read it, the more I believed that my prayers are entering into the ear and the heart and the spirit. And because they have entered into God, the Bible said not only does he hear, but he answers my prayer.
God heard me.
God didn't hear me because of my righteousness. God heard me because of his righteousness. He heard my prayers, and it stirred me and it excited me to know that God is listening.
Somewhere listening, there's an old song that we used to sing, and it said, he sits high and looks low. God is listening, and so... As I looked at John, I became envious of him. I said, I wish I was John. So I closed my eyes. I got my little Dorothy spirit. I closed my eyes and clicked my heels and said, there's nobody like John. There's nobody like, and it did not work at first, but the more I worshiped him, the more I felt him. The closer I came to him. And that's what James was saying when he said, draw near unto God. Yeah. Our prayers bring us into the presence of God. Yeah. Prayers. Lifted up before God. They didn't bring songs. They didn't bring sermons. They brought prayer. Yeah. In gold bowls. And presented them to God. John said, I was standing there. John looked for a lion and ended up with a lamb. John was there. And listen, here's a sidebar, if you will. If you ever want to understand the summary of the gospel, look for the lamb. Remember Isaac up there with his paw? And he said, where is the lamb? By the time, Dr. Corbett, we get over to the New Testament of the Bible, John answers, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. When you get to the Revelation letter, Jesus is described 28 times as a lamb. And let me help you understand that the lamb has carried a heavy burden. Lambs were not designed necessarily to be burden bearers. But this lamb, this Son of God, this Jesus, this Messiah, this King of Kings, this Lamb of God has carried us when we couldn't carry ourselves. He lifted us when we were in a fallen state. He bore our infirmities. This lamb. And I want to help you understand that you can't separate suffering from glory. You can't separate cross from crown. But the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This Lamb is who John saw. The Bible said that they were weeping. They declared there is no one worthy.
No one.
But the Bible describes this Lamb who steps up. Angel of the Lord said, there's one that's worthy. Yeah. Bible said that they presented to God. Here it is. Here it is. The summary, 20 minutes have gone by. Here it is. We have prayed and prayed and prayed, at least some of us.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
We prayed. We were taught this prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's in there. It's in there. And for generations after generations and generations yet to come, they will pray that prayer. But Revelation 5, verse 8 says, here's your answer. They presented our prayers unto God. The prayers of the saints. If you get to Revelation 8, around verse 4 or 5, and it starts to unfold there, it refers to those same prayers in those bowls as the prayers of the saints. Nudge your neighbor and say, that's a promotion there. Prayers of the saints. And understand that sainthood, listen, I'm going to give you Dr. Corbett, Reverend White, Reverend Dixon, other preachers scattered throughout. You can help the folk with this, but let me tell you something. There is not a verse in the Word of God that says that we have to earn sainthood. Sainthood is conferred upon us by a loving God who calls us saints.
Yes. Thank
you. Yes, sir. Y'all missed it. That's a free shout. Because some of you have thought that you got to earn sainthood by contributing to charity and doing good works. But the Bible says we are the saints of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You were designed, destined, and delivered to sainthood. Folk been telling you you ain't good enough. You can tell them now, yes, I is.
Yes.
Just like we said back when we were in grade school, for the Bible tells me so. Set apart for God. And so these prayers have been presented unto God. So Pastor, help us in the next few minutes so we can shout our way out. What happens to our prayers when we pray? I'll tell you what happens to them. First of all, they are received by God. That's right. You don't pray to a man. You don't pray our pastor, our deacon. Our prayers are received by God. That's why Jesus says, if you ever want to shape up your life, pray like this.
Yeah.
Our Father. That's a pause right there. Our Father speaks to the union of the saints.
Yeah.
Don't you get selfish in your prayer and start out talking about my Father. It's our Father. Who art in heaven? Every one of us has a Father.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he wants to hear from you. Our prayers are received by God. The Bible says these bowls were filled with incense, which represent the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the children of God. The prayers of God's people. Are we not a people? All of us are a people. Tall, short, fat, thin, rich, poor, good, bad, almost, practically, people of God. And the text says they were presented. In other words, they didn't just set them down and walk away. They made, as my grandmother would say, a big to-do of it. You ought to be honored this hour. To know that your prayers bring you into the presence of a holy God. Y'all missed the shout. Your prayers, we are presented into his presence by our prayers. We get the attention of God, not because we've done everything right, not because we're so wonderful. We are presented by prayer. Makes the old song, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. our prayers bring us into the presence. Every act of our prayers, every knee that was bowed, every tear that was cried, every heartache that was shared, every discipline, every act that you ever presented in your prayer. Some of us prayed driving. Some of us prayed because we couldn't drive. Some of us prayed employed, unemployed, in good health, in bad health, on our knees, on our face, on our back, on our bed of affliction. But every act of our prayers have been accounted for and presented unto God, who hears and answers your prayer. Come on in the room.
Yeah.
I heard you praying. Mm. Come on up a little higher. I heard you praying.
Yes.
He receives us. And notice in the text, there is no refusal. Mm-hmm. There is no screaming. There is no whose prayer are these. Lord, thou knowest.
Yes.
These are the prayers of your children. Hallelujah. Can I get you to help me along through here? How many of you remember when your children brought you home their best artwork from school? Macaroni glued on a piece of paper. Little watercolors with no definition.
Uh-huh.
A hand turkey. And you said, oh my, look at that. We're going to put that on the wall of fame. You received it. You got a Picasso. A Monet. And they were standing there just as proud. And hear me well this hour. That is the same level, if not greater, of reception that you will receive from a God who loves you. Yes, you are outside the line. Yes, it's crooked. Yes, it's messed up. Yes, it may not be appreciated by others. But beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And Jesus loves you. This I know. Put this on the wall of fame.
Yes.
I heard your prayer. Secondly, what happens, Pastor? Okay, he received them. What does he do? He responds to them.
Yes.
He responds to our prayer. James says that when God hears us, he gives us more grace. He heard your prayer. He responds to it. How many of you know God responds to your prayer? Amen. Listen, listen. Can I illustrate it? We'll move along quickly. Poor Hagar. Y'all know Hagar. Y'all don't know Hagar?
Yes.
Let me tell you about this gal named Hagar. Hagar has been enlisted into a marital situation far beyond her comprehension. I am convinced of God that when we get to heaven, should we run by Hagar's house, she's going to tell every one of y'all, if I'd have known it was going to turn out like that, I'd have said no. She gonna tell you, if I'd have known that Sarah was gonna flip out on me like that, we used to be girls. We were tight. I was trying to hook her up. And how many of you know that sometimes when you hook other folk up, you get the hook? Hagar, Hagar, Hagar is in bad way. And after Sarah flips on her and banishes her, Hagar tell her husband, man, she said, Abraham, she got to go. And I'm telling you now, every sister in here got a Sarah spirit in her. Don't make me call names. I've seen some of y'all Sarah spirit. Told Abraham, oh, it's going to be me or her, and it's going to be her. Amen. You ever had a situation, fellas, when your wife give you a choice and take the choice back immediately? Oh, it's going to be me or her, and it's going to be her. In case Abraham had a slip and stumble, you know, Sarah. Yeah. But here it is, here it is, here it is. He responds because, watch this now, Hagar and Sarah have done something not pleasing to God. Watch this, stay with me because you're going to get a shout free.
Come on.
Hagar and Sarah are both guilty of violating the very law of God, but Hagar banished, sitting there with that little boy named Ishmael, crying out to God. Watch this now. Crying out to God. And God shows up.
Come on.
And says, Hagar, name him Ishmael.
Yeah.
Watch this, Dr. Corbett, Rem White, Dr. Dixon, don't give them the answer. Do you know what the name Ishmael means? The name Ishmael means God heard you. Look at your name and say, I Ishmael you. God! Listen, you got a situation where a concubine is in a bad deal. The wife is in a bad deal. Hagar crying her eyes out. God shows up and said, name him, I heard you. Boy, y'all don't know where to shout. A bad situation. The bastard child. And God said, name him, I heard you. And every generation hereafter can look at Ishmael and know that God not only hears, but responds to our prayer. He said, name him, I heard you. And every time Hagar got into a fix, read it. If you go through Genesis, you'll discover every time Hagar got into a fix, God, who reminds himself of what he is, said to her again, I heard you. God responds to our prayer. Some of you need to remember, he's an Ishmael God. He hears us. And every time God hears us, read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will discover that every time God heard something, he did something. Y'all didn't shout. God responds to our prayer. Every time he heard something, he did something. And what you must understand is the same God that was listening to Hagar is listening to you. Don't you ever think that you have corrupted or messed up so bad that God ain't listening to you. Don't you ever think that because of your own conniving and deception, because of your own underhanded deal, because of your own dirty doing, that you have been disqualified from the ear of God. Sometimes it's the stuff that we do worse that makes us first. Let me see if I can't help you understand something. You go to the emergency room, you got a paper cut. This brother walked in with a gunshot wound. Who do you think going in first? Well, I know you think your paper cut is the worst. I got one up there. I thought I was just going to have to leave the earth. Sometimes you'd rather get a big cut than a paper cut. But listen, it is those who need the most attention that get called up to the front of the line. He responds. And he reminds us that he loves us. In his response. Then you say, okay, Pastor, he receives, he responds. What happened next? Well, I'll tell you. He remedies our problems.
Yes. Thank you.
In those bowls. Not only receptive things, but remedy things. The Bible says that the children of Israel, we were done here most directly, the children of Israel are in trouble. In the Exodus letter, Sister Scott, it says that the king of Egypt died. And they kept on crying. The text said that they cried because they continued under the burden of slavery. And as they were crying unto God, the Bible said that the bowls were getting filled. Because the Bible said that their cries rose up to God. Didn't you read it in the text? The Bible said they presented unto God the prayers of his people. I believe in those bowls were some Egyptian prayers, some Israelite prayers, some God come see about us prayers. And the text says when the prayers were received by God and responded, he remembered. God help me along through here. I am excited to tell you that no matter what happens in your life, God remembers the covenant over our lives. God remembers that he said, I will never leave them nor forsake them. God remembered that he said, I'll be food on their table and clothes on their back. God remembered that he said, I'll put a hedge round about them. God remembered that he said, no devil in hell shall destroy them. God remembered that he said, I'll never flood the earth again. God remembered that he said, I will lift them up out of the muck and the mire. God remembered that he said, I'll heal them from their sicknesses. God remembered that he said, I won't cause a mother to lose a daughter, nor a father a son. Aren't you glad that God remembers? Every cry will be answered. Every condition will be corrected. Every heartache will be mended. Every frustration will be fixed. Why? Because we serve a God that remembers.
Said he remembered. But not only did he remember Dick McKenzie, but the Bible said that he reacted to what he remembered. If you read the Exodus letter, it will say that God knew it was time to act. God will do it right on time. God is a God who remembers. God responds. God receives. God is the kind of God that reacts based on our prayers. When we're in trouble, God dispatches emergency crews. Whenever we're in a situation, God dispatches the necessary implements of our warfare. Whenever we're in a situation, God knows just how to get us out. There's an old song he sings that I knew he knew how to bring me out. And when he responds to us, it is because he is a righteous God. The text said that they brought prayers unto God and presented them in his presence. It is again important to note it wasn't because of the choir. It wasn't because of good preaching. It was because of prayer. That's why I've been trying to get you to understand how important it is for us to pray. Because if we would but pray unto God, heaven and earth would be moved. If we would pray unto God, we would fill bowls of incense as reflective of our prayers. And when God hears our prayers, he will deliver us from the noisome pestilence. He will deliver us from heartache and shame. God will make a way somehow. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm so glad that you kept on praying. I'm glad you prayed early in the morning and late in the midnight hour. I'm glad you prayed when you were coming in and going out. I'm glad you prayed through the storm and the rain. I'm glad you prayed when other folk weren't praying, but you kept on praying. Down on bending knees, we called on our God. How many know when you call on the Lord that the Lord will answer your cry? Anybody know that the Lord will? Can I get one witness that God will answer your cry? The Bible says that God knew it was time to act. The Bible said that he received our prayers, responded in kind, and God remembered. But the last thing I want to tell you as I get ready to leave y'all alone, that when God has done all this, when our prayers have been answered, the final testimony is that we shall rejoice when we get to the reception. I can't wait to see him. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. I want to tell God thank you for answering my prayers. I want to tell God thank you for being so kind and being so faithful. The writer declares, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I wish I had some witness here that can tell another witness that the Lord is good. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I tried him. I said, I tried him for myself. I fell down on my knees and cried the old prayer. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other, no other, no other help I know. Ain't God that kind of God? If thou would but answer my prayer, God will pick you up,
journey around. I stretch my hand to thee. I'm calling on you in my midnight hour. I'm calling on you in the midst of my shame. God, Jesus, Lord, Master, Savior, God, Father, Lover, Brother, Friend, hear my prayer. Hear my prayer. Won't he do it? Can he do it? Say yeah. He'll give you joy. He'll give you peace. He'll give you love. He responds by saying amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. 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 When we get there at the reception, we will rejoice. We'll look around and tell our neighbors, after all I've been through, I'll still have joy. After all the heartaches, I'll still have joy. After all the setbacks, I'll still have joy. After all of the lies, I'll still have joy. After all the disappointment, I'll still have joy. I didn't get the job. I didn't marry right. I didn't live right. But I'll still have joy because Jesus has saved me. He hung, bled, and died. And when he died, he lifted me and saved. I said, and saved. When I get there, songwriter said, when we've been there 10,000 years, we're going to still be singing. We're going to still be shouting at the reception in the grand ballroom. Jesus will be seated at the big table and we shall all be given audience. The writer says there was a number that no man could number. But these are they that have washed their robes. Look at the name and say, excuse me. I got to get my rub bowl out. Excuse me. I got to get my whisk out. Excuse me. I got to get my OxyClean out. Excuse me, neighbor. But just in case you don't have any of those, let me tell you something that I've come to know. He'll wash. He'll wash. He'll wash me white as snow. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? These are they. And then when John got a moment, he ran down to the music box, pulled out his pen and wrote this letter that simply says, oh yeah, these are they, but I want to be in the number. When all the saints gather at home, I want to be in the number. Do you want to be there? Then keep on praying. Keep on praying. Because soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. And there'll be no more crying there. Bible says he shall wipe every tear from their eyes. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Our prayers are before God. He received them. You ever really sit down and thought about prayer? I mean, seriously. It's so simple. But yet it bears so much significance. I mean, the verse says that those gold bowls
are filled with the prayers of God's people. From here on, when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And look at that, a little different now. God's going to answer that prayer. Oh, his kingdom will come. And his will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Lord, if you just give us this day. And that's what we have right now. We got this day. And Jesus says that in the day that you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. You can't expect to live tomorrow. All you got is today. And if this is the day and you've not accepted Jesus Christ, this is your day. This is the day. I wouldn't take the chance. I wouldn't walk out till I start walking with him. If you're here, if you stand on your feet, we're going to let you go. Try to get you out of here so you can. Sun's come out now. Church folk like the sun. If you haven't been praying, you ought to start praying. Catch up on your prayers. Because God says, if you ask, it shall be given. If you come after it, if you look for it. How many of you, let me see, I got to let you go, but how many of you, when you look for something, you get mad as a wet hen if you don't find it? Amen. I mean, come on, I need some honest people. How many of you have ever started looking for something, get so mad that other folk will clear the area because they know you looking? You ever had folks say, don't go in there, your daddy looking for something. You know, you start looking for something, you come back, the whole house empty. How many of you blame folk when you can't find things? How many of you, when you're looking for something, say, I know where I put it. And then when you find it somewhere else, say, somebody moved it. Well, here's what the doctrine of heaven says. You can never be so lost that God can't find you. And he says, if you look for me, you'll find me. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall. Listen, I hear folk all the time making excuses about Christianity. I've been trying to find the right church, Sister Belinda, but I can't find it. I'm down in Appomattox. Ain't no good churches down here. I'm going to Suffolk Town. Ain't no good churches over there. They done moved to Buckingham, Charlotte Courthouse. They done had their name on more church rolls than Carter got liver pills. And can't find Jesus. How can you not find Jesus who is everywhere? I went down there to Canaan. I couldn't find him. You can't, where Miss Scott at over there? There's no way that you cannot find Jesus who is everywhere and so readily accessible to all. Come on now, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you ought to come today. What happens to your prayers? When you pray, they're received by God. He responds to your prayers. I know he responds. He remedies our problems. And then lastly, what do you get? You shall rejoice at the reception. Praise our God. Greater grace, a greater glory. And watch this. A gracious response of gratitude. We should always say thank you. Listen, you got Can I help you? I know y'all got to go. You got to understand something. You got to love God so much that you know how to say thank you when he say no. Yeah. God ain't going to listen. You can't have your way all the time. How many of y'all like to have y'all way? Thank you. Come on, it's honest. But how many of you have learned that you can't always have your way? And still don't like it, but you've learned it. I have learned that when God says no, just say, thank you, Lord. That don't mean you can't ask him something else. But you got to have a gracious response of gratitude. And when we pray, our prayers are going to God. And when God hears us and answers us, he doesn't have to say, go ahead this time. No. Sometimes God needs to restrain us. Sometimes he needs to refuse us. Sometimes he needs to rebuke us. You know, we don't like rebuke. Don't talk to me like that. You better watch your mouth. You're talking to God. He heard you. So if you have not accepted him, because he wants to answer your prayers. When you pray, your prayers are going to God. And I know some of you are deep Bible scholars. You say, well, Reverend, that's the revelation letter. That's the final summary. No. This is the continuation of what has always happened. This ain't like the first time they ever went into the presence of God. If you read the Bible very carefully, you'll understand that the assignment of the four beings and the 24 elders are to serve God in every capacity. You read the text. They worship him. They serve him. They give whatever God needs. God ain't got to move off the throne. Be careful. Pay attention. God never leaves the throne. Why? Because they do their job. They understand what it means to serve a holy God. Bible says that the angels are there. The beast is represented, and it talks about the seven eyes and the wings and the eyes. And why? So they can see everything. Why? So they can report it back to God. The eyes of the Lord are always upon us because of the assignment being fulfilled by those who serve him. You're never alone. Would you come? Would you come? You come. If everybody in here wants to make a declaration of your salvation, I say amen to you. But I also say you better be sure, because no man knows the day nor the hour. You think them people on flight MH370 knew? You think those folk in Washington knew that the mud would come down? You think those folk in LA knew there was going to be an earthquake? No man knows. So you better get your business straight. And if you don't want to go to Appomattox, Canaan, Brookville, I suggest you first realize you need Jesus more than any local church. First, you need Jesus. Would you come to Jesus? Our doors are open. Our doors are open. It's time for you to go. I understand that. Sun is out now. You want to get outside. It's spring. You want to spring. Okay, I got you. Would you pray with us? We're going to do it easy. Just grab somebody's hand right where you are. Tell them this. Neighbor, God receives your prayers. God responds to your prayers. God will remedy your problems. And you shall rejoice at the reception. Whatever you stand in need of right now, I want you to put that on the balcony of your heart. I'm praying for the church. I'm praying for Brookville. I have gone into an intense prayer about this church. And let me just give you a quick insight. Sitting there this morning, and one of our disciples had this look on her face. And I said, what's the problem? And she started telling me. And see, those are the kind of things that I've been praying about. We got to learn how to do better with loving each other, helping each other. And if we don't do better here, where? I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you ever want to love your wife, love your husband, love your children, love God. Just do that God thing. Love God. And you'll realize that how you talk to people and what you say to people and how you look at people, how you walk by people matters. We are the essence of God. God doesn't abuse us. God doesn't talk sharp to us. God doesn't try to hurt our feelings. God ain't trying to break us or make us feel humiliated. God is trying to lift us up. Be ye lifted up. And the King of Glory. See, one of the things that hurts our worship is that we're not lifted up. The King of Glory is not going to come in when we got all of this strife and all of this bitterness and all of, y'all ain't talking to me, but I'm talking to you. We've got to learn how to do it God's way. And I'm thanking God when things like that come to my attention, because I said, okay, let's add that to the prayer list. Relationships. How to encourage even when the faults are so obvious. Deacon Walker asked a question, I think a couple of Sundays ago, maybe on a Thursday night, I can't remember. He said, how long do we put up with folk before we give up? I don't know. What I do know, and it's just me, you may not have this problem, but I do know somebody had to put up with me before I got it right. And I'm not altogether certain how much right is no more, but I keep trying. We got to love our neighbors. And when I ask you to hold people's hands, let go first of envy and jealousy and strife. Let go of bitterness. Let go of the spirit of antagonism. Let go of the spirit of I'm right and they're wrong. Let go of the spirit of I know and they dumb. They don't know nothing and it wasn't for me. Let go of all of that. Because you know the Bible says when there are poor spirits about, when there is disharmony, when there is frustration, when there is underlying turmoil, that miracles are hindered. The Bible said that Jesus met with failure. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because there was no faith. Don't be holding my hand and you ain't got no faith. Don't be squeezing my hand and you really trying to hurt me. You know I got these rings on my finger that hurt. Amen. How many know you got to get your rings right for your whole hand? Got to spin them around so when they squeeze your hand, a little tolerance in there. So you got to love your neighbor. He receives our prayers, responds to our prayers, remedies our problems, and we shall rejoice upon reception. God hears you. Eyes are closed. Heads are bowed. This is a little different for some of you, but in silence, I'm not going to say much else, but I want you to spend just a few minutes in closing prayer with God. Just a few minutes. You pray your way through. Pray your neighbor through. Pray your sons and daughters, husbands and wives. Pray our president through. Pray the governor through. Pray for those families of MH370. Pray for the mudslide victims in Washington. Pray for those who were suddenly surprised by the shaking of the earth. Pray for sons and daughters in military affairs. Incarcerated persons, traveling persons, college students, elementary school students, middle school students. Pray for the babies. Pray for young Miss Krista. Pray for young Master Gideon. Pray for mothers and fathers. Pray for hungry folk. Pray for our clothing ministry. Pray for the food ministry. Pray for Brookville. Pray for Pastor. Pray for you. He receives our prayers. He responds to our prayers. He's going to remedy our problems. Is there anything too hard for our God? All things are possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, forgive us if we have not prayed as we ought to have prayed. God, would you train us again to pray? You would order our tongues that we would learn to talk to you, not just sometime, but all the time. If you would teach us not prayers of formality, but prayers of faith, teach us to be honest with you. We realize even right now, Lord, that there is much ground to cover. We've fallen behind because we have failed to pray without ceasing. Failed to pray in every season. We must now, Lord, move from praying only for breakfast, lunch, and dinner to praying for our whole life. To realize that you are receptive to our prayers. That we'll fill those bowls to overflowing. The prayers of the righteous still make it happen. And our righteousness is not our own, but that which you have given. You've labeled us righteous. Thank you, God. We can win the day. The power of our prayers. Hear our prayers. Hear our prayers. Hear our prayers. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, we do pray. And would ask that you have again mercy on us. As we go out, as we come in, your name be glorified. There is none like you. And you indeed, Lord, have taken the condemnation and shame so we can lift up our heads, lift up our eyes, that our hearts be made glad. We have a God who loves us. You took away the shame, took away the guilt. You lent yourself to us. as a sacrifice. And we are honored to call you Father, Savior, Master, Lord. And God, as we turn from this place, let us never forget that you gave your only Son. You saved us. And whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Bless your name, Father. Thank you for the hand that I've held. Thank you for the prayers we prayed. Now, God, lead and guide us to the next great thing, to your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Hug at least four or five folk.